Philippians 1, let's read 14 verses from the beginning of this chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. This is the part of the chapter that I desired for us to read today. Let us now take a moment to kneel down before the Lord and turn to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we desire to worship thee today, to exalt thy most holy name, O God. And we realize, O Lord, that only thou hast the power and the grace, the power to guide us through our worship, and the grace, O Heavenly Father, to make us continual worshipers, to worship thee in our prayers, thanksgiving, and in our praises, to worship thee, O Heavenly Father, as we meditate upon thy holy word, and to worship thee as we apply thy word in our daily walk. For that grace, O Lord, that thou hast offered to the mankind in Christ Jesus, thy beloved Son, we pray. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that thou make us worthy of thy calling. Lord God Almighty, thou hast invited us in Christ to forsake all and in self-denial, bearing on our shoulders the cross of Christ, that we follow him, our perfect example. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we realize that many times, O Lord, we are trailing far behind, we are hesitant to follow when we are called. And many times, O Heavenly Father, we find ourselves hasty and zealous to do before we check first if that is thy calling, or perhaps something that we should pray for to be made free from. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for that goodness and mercy of Thine that is following us in all the days of our pilgrimage. That goodness and mercy of Thine, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, that is protecting and correcting. That is inspiring, encouraging, and yet rebuking and admonishing. Gracious Lord, we pray that Thou graciously, lovingly, as only Thou canst, forgive us our shortcomings, mistakes. Forgive us every disobedience, O Lord, every misunderstanding. Help us not to be hypocrites, ready to learn the things of this life that are of short value, and slow to understand Thy holy word, which is so important for us now and for all eternity. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou purify our thinking, emotions, affections. Cleanse away all unrighteousness, every impurity, O Lord. And grant us that virtue, that gift of Thy grace that is so rare today, purity. The garment of that righteousness, righteousness of the Lamb of God, to cover our souls and our spirits. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, for that power of Thy Holy Spirit to prevail in our daily walk, to have Thy victory in us. That our daily walk would not be continual struggle between Thy will and ours, but that we, through Christ, be crucified to the world and to ourself. That all that is old, the old man of sin, may be dead. And we, O Heavenly Father, by the power of Thy Spirit and by the word of Thy Gospel, that we be risen in that new life in Christ. Have Thou Thine own victory in our hearts, Thy revelation and Thy light in our minds. And O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may our flesh also be trained to walk in obedience, in faithfulness, in zeal for Thy will. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we see in our daily walk that when we are not used to a work that we must do, how difficult that is. And when we exercise some skill every day, it becomes almost effortless. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, grant us to walk in Christ day by day, hour by hour, so that this new life be our only life, that there won't be dividing of hearts and mind. Holy Father, we pray for that faithfulness and for that zeal for Thy holy name. For only in that full obedience, only in that full fellowship in Thy Spirit of Christ, O Father, we can enjoy Thy peace. We can rejoice in Christ. Only that way, O Lord, Thou hast given us the pretaste of the heavenly glory, rejoicing in the blessed future and rejoicing in Thy grace that is being outpoured upon us day by day. O Heavenly Father, Great is thy love and thy faithfulness. Glory and honor belong to thy holy name. But thou, O Lord God Almighty, make us and keep us mindful that that glory upon the face of this earth is shining in its brightest on the cross, in humility, in suffering, in laboring, on the behalf of those that thou hast in mind, on the behalf of those that are redeemed. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that we be in that number continually. Keep us from backsliding. Keep us from falling away. Keep us, O Heavenly Father, from going astray. Make us and keep us faithful unto Thee. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may Thy love and Thy grace purify, sanctify, and then reach out and administer that healing touch and healing power and deliverance, O Lord. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that our hearts be so happy in Christ that we can share Thy goodness and Thy mercy. But we also pray, O Lord, that Thou keep us from hypocrisy, from pretense, and give us, O Heavenly Father, those honest Christian tears and sorrows when we are sad, that we can share our sadness also. When we are burdened, that we can cast all our burdens upon Thee. For great is Thy goodness and Thy power, O Lord, and perfect is Thy faithfulness. How great and glorious Thou art, O Lord. And how wonderful, great and glorious Thou art in those that follow the Savior through humility and persecution and all the difficulties, O Lord. Glorious Thou art, O Lord God Almighty, in the three men in the fiery furnace and in Lazarus dying out there in the street. Glorious Thou art, O Heavenly Father, in Noah's preaching, though nobody believed, but the few that found their salvation in obedience. And wonderful art Thou, O Heavenly Father, in Paul the Apostle, preaching and proclaiming Thy gospel to hundreds and thousands and to individuals. O Heavenly Father, help us to see that glory of Thine and that might and power and majesty of Thy holy name, even in the days when all in Asia turned away from Paul. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we thank Thee for every day of our pilgrimage, for Thou art always with Thine own. And we pray, O Lord, that Thou make us and keep us Thine own in all the days of our journey. Blessed Lord, we commit our souls to Thy care, and we pray that Thou make our heart open to receive the blessings that Thou hast first shared with the Philippians, that Thou, O Heavenly Father, make us blessed and a blessing to one another and to all the others far and wide. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, help us to understand how, even in our weakness, the power of Thy grace is so wonderfully revealed. O gracious Lord, glory and honor to Thy holy name. Guide us and protect us, lead us and teach us, and make us obedient and faithful. Make us loving and lovable. Make us the true disciples of the Savior. Amen. here is quite an experience, and I think it's not only mine, but probably in the experience of all of you here gathered, and probably many others, that sometimes when we want to write a letter, to send a message of comfort, encouragement, or edifying message to another fellow believer, that we don't know what to write. We don't know what to say, and what shall we start with, and what is the most important, and how to convey, how to get across without making a difficult situation more difficult, or to get across with a real nutritious, spiritually nutritious message from the Word of God, and not to sound just usual, formal, kind of empty. And then we start searching through the Word of God, or flipping the pages, reading one chapter, another one, and praying about that. And then we end up not knowing what first to choose, because there are so many things in the Word of God. As soon as we receive the help, the blessing, the grace from the Lord to get away from our earthly things, all of a sudden the treasure, this rich and abundant treasure of the Word of God, is open unto us. I was in a situation, not being able to decide what to share with you today, whether the Epistle of the Philippians or something from the book of Joshua. I was so impressed by listening to the taped message from the scripture. The passage in the beginning of the book of Joshua, you remember the victory over Jericho, and then how they lost the battle at Ai. And I was quite impressed with the differences. I hope some of you will have time and desire to look into that, because probably in the near future, if the Lord will provide the time and the opportunity, I would like us to share that and to look into that. Why the children of Israel had such a great victory over Jericho, a mighty, powerful city, and then they lost the battle with Ai, that is, it was a small city. What were the differences and the points that led toward victory in one place and toward the failure in another? But then I went through the epistle to the Philippians, and it's an amazing epistle. Just blessing after blessing. And what is so abundant here, I think, and overwhelming, is the joy that the Apostle Paul had in these Christians at Philippi. But as we walk through, as we go through the verses, it is my hope and my prayer that more than I be able in my very limited ability to share with you from this epistle, that the Lord is going to make your heart and mind open to feel much more than I can express in my limited ability, vocabulary, and so on. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. The first thing that is interesting thing, well, it was first thing to me, it doesn't have to be the first to everyone, that both Paul and Timotheus are the servants. Paul did not find it necessary here to say Paul the apostle, Timotheus the minister, and perhaps there is just a brother there. Now, Paul and Timotheus are servants. When there is a love and understanding among the brethren in Christ, there is no necessity of hierarchy. Everyone is serving wherever the Lord has placed us, and we do it in love of our Lord and Savior. To all the saints, the epistle is addressed to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Paul is giving reverence and respect to the bishops and deacons, and it's in its place. But he is not writing with self-reverence and self-respect. In honor, prefer one another. And I think this is so simply and clearly revealed in the beginning of this epistle. And the greeting is, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think we won't have time to go in details through everything, but most of us are aware of the fact, when we wish grace to anyone, what is included in that grace? That without Christ we are lost, and in Christ we have the eternity open to us, and His grace is sufficient for all our needs, and so on. Blessing after blessing flows in that river of grace that flows from the throne of the Heavenly Father. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. Now this peace of a conscience purged from sin by the blood of the Savior, understanding purified by the word of truth that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us, and so on. Peace of an awareness of God's forgiveness and His safekeeping of our souls. Peace of knowing that our future is bright and our presence is in that abundance grace of God, in spite of our weaknesses. When we think about the grace of God, we don't forget our weaknesses, because the awareness of our weaknesses and shortcomings and our needs is just another part of that same grace. So, grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord in Jesus Christ. It's not a law that in every place in the epistle where God the Father is recorded or witnessed of as the source of all goodness, the only channel of that goodness is mentioned, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a law. Some places we might find that it is mentioned only God the Father, but it's never separated. Whether it's recorded in the same place, both the Father and the Son, they're never separated. Only in Christ we have the Father. Only through Christ we have any relationship with the Father, and only through Christ we can receive any good gift and blessing from the Father. Now, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ told us that He just cannot do anything without the Father. But as the Father has given Him, as the Father's will is, as the Father's word is, that's what the Son does. And this is not a weakness. It's not that the Son is so weak He cannot do anything without the Father. No, that's the strength and the power and the might. It's just against His nature to do anything other than the will of the Father. Oh, that's that grace and peace that the Lord is offering to us in this epistle also. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Father and the Son are one, so all those that are in Christ should be one in the spirit of peace and understanding of love and joy. And then Paul writes further, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. If for a time or maybe even a short time, we did not give thanks to God for the believers that have been a blessing in our life, it's about the time. It's very important that we thank God as we remember one another and as we remember those that are far away, and I'm confident they do the same for us. And truly, in our prayers, in our thanksgiving, when we remember how good and gracious God has been to us through those that are His own, there is an abundant amount of reasons for thanksgiving unto the Lord. But if we for a time get distracted and forget about that, let us be reminded and let's thank the Lord our God for His goodness and His grace upon those that are our loved ones in Christ. He says further, or shall I read that verse number 3 again? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. There is always something to request. But when we can make or present our petitions, our requests to the Lord with joy, that's just wonderful. If our request is with doubts and fears, that becomes so burdensome. We cannot request something with joy. But it's so good to have that joy. It's so important for us that we have joy in one another, in Christ. Not in vanity, not in pride, not necessarily because of the earthly prosperity, even though that is not neglected and forgotten. We should rejoice in the earthly blessings too. Even more so when we see that the Lord is giving to His children and those that we are concerned for, and fellow believers, fellow pilgrims, whether we are in the same household, in an earthly sense household, or whether we are separated by great distance in the flesh, that we rejoice in God's goodness and mercy that He has given to His children, even in the material things, in good health, in prosperity, in relative security and safety, but more so in the spiritual blessings, in the spiritual gifts. When we see that someone, when we observe fellow believers and we see someone living and walking in purity, oh, that's so wonderful. Living in Christ and not desiring the sinful pleasures of the world, that's a gift. Sharing the word of God, encouraging one another, is just delightful to our souls. But let's see. Is there more to that? What was the request? Request was with joy. And then further we read, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Always in every prayer of mine, I'm going back now to the verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I think I'll have to read verses 3, 4, and 5 together. maybe six, just to feel that thought, to understand that better. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. It just goes on and on. A joyful prayer. Even in the apostles' thanksgiving, there is a request, there is a prayer. He is thankful for the fellowship of the Philippian Christians, fellowship in the gospel, and especially thankful that that fellowship is so steady from the first day until now. And that is his request, that that be so on and on. He is confident of that very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in the hearts of these dear believers will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is confident, he is thankful, and that is his request. Let it be. That reminds me of the prayer of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in John 17. If we watch that prayer, there is no demand. It's a request that everything be as the Father's will is. And when the Lord says in his prayer, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, to see my glory which thou hast given me, or which I had since the foundations of the world. Eternal grace, eternal glory, glory that goes on and on forever and excels. The Lord Jesus Christ wants to share with those whom the Father has given him, and he says, I will. It's not I will because I'm not sure that the Father wills it. No. Because that is the Father's will, I will. It's a request of giving himself, the Son, to the will of the Father. I just cannot express that. I cannot share that with you. I pray the Lord give us all the grace and the gift to feel that, to be aware of that more than the words can express. It's just magnificent. The Father bestows so much grace and goodness and so much of his own nature upon the Son, and the Son gives all of that to the Father, and that relationship is giving and giving and giving, and that's godly, divine sharing. And when we follow the Lord Jesus in that grace of his, and we share with one another, and we give and offer to one another more and more, and we offer ourselves more and more to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is giving and outpouring more and more of himself into our hearts and upon our minds, more of his word. It's amazing how this sad journey of ours becomes joyful and peaceful and like the portals of heaven. This dark and threatening valley of the shadow of death becomes like a stream of living water going right through this valley and supplying all that our hearts, our souls need in Christ. Confidence. In the verse number 6 we find confidence, being confident of this very thing, that he, the Lord, which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I often lack that confidence. I often wonder, perhaps my excuse for lacking that confidence is that so many that expressed or professed their willingness to be in the covenant of the Lord and to follow Him through life and death, through suffering and ease and so on, turned back and apparently enjoyed their own gospel, or I don't know what happened to them. But anyway, it becomes overwhelming impression, and that is anyone going to endure to the end? Is anyone going to follow the Lord through all the days of one's pilgrimage? But here we see that Paul the Apostle had confidence of this very thing, that the Lord will complete His good work in the Philippians, in their hearts, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, will not stop halfway. And truly, I think a strong and great truth and a fact is revealed here, that yes, the Lord never leaves nor forsakes His own. He will complete His work. And there is joy, there is comfort, encouragement in knowing that. In the verse 7, as I read already, we read that it is meet for the apostle to think this of them all, because he has them in his heart. What does that mean? He just has such love for them that his heart is never void of their presence. He's always loving them. As we read further in the verse number 3, upon every remembrance of you, in every prayer, making request, offering thanksgiving and praise. It is meet that those that share the love of Christ among themselves have that confidence for one another, and not to live in suspense, doubting and questioning one another's sincerity in Christ and the strength, stability of that fellowship in Christ. It is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Now, how were they partakers of his grace? Well, first, when they believed to Paul's preaching, presenting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them, when they believed, they became partakers of that grace. But they didn't stop there. They were active, busy in assisting Paul in preaching the gospel to the others. So they continued growing in that grace, in partaking of that grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. A longing for one another. We would like to have more of that pretaste of the heavenly joy and glory. We would like to be together all the time. And I think that if we could even work together, day by day, hour by hour, and so on, it would be easier for us than to go out in this world and work out there and face the adversity and rejection and just the opposition that Satan is manifesting, demonstrating throughout this world. Even when the world or some people of the world are friendly and encouraging, we can sense the enemy behind that. Their reason for being friendly is often anything but godliness. You know, I don't say that and it will never happen. It can happen that someone out there in the world will sincerely encourage us. That's wonderful. That's great. Something to be thankful for. Because if that happens, we can expect that heart is being touched and moved by the word of God, and perhaps the Lord is going to deliver that soul sooner or later. But most of the times, the encouragement from the world is not genuine, is not sincere. It's flattering, it's really hypocritical, commercial, with some desire to gain, to take a gain on us, or perhaps to get another opportunity to humiliate or to discourage us in a way that we might not be aware of at the first moment. We read here that Paul greatly longed for all of them, and yet Paul did not live in Philippi. And my impression is, by reading throughout this epistle, that at this moment Paul was a prisoner in Rome. So longing for one another does not have to be painful. And I have to confess to you, it often is. It can be a joyful longing. It can be in that confidence that the Lord is leading us all, and sooner or later we will be together. And that's wonderful. That hope is so refreshing and supplying encouragement to us. And yet, how wonderful would it be if we were already there, in that place where there is no parting, together with the Lord. I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. What an expression, in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In the heart of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I long for you. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. Here's another part of that request, perhaps the major part. That your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. I've seen that among the believers. Even some of the very sincere, honest Christians, at least that was my impression at that time, that they were sincere and honest and serious in their profession of faith, love, and fellowship in Christ. And yet, some additional growth or a more abundant knowledge and judgment, discernment, would really help, would really add to the grace that they received already from the Lord. That ye may approve things that are excellent, not just joyfully and cheerfully receive something that is not excellent, that leads away from the excellency of our Lord Jesus Christ. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Well, when he says till the day of Christ, that tell us about duration, stability, that the gifts of God, the grace of God be in us continually, steady. And then the first part of the verse number 10 says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere. Oh, that means to approve the things that are excellent first in my life. Sincerity starts from me, not first testing and controlling or checking on everybody else and forgetting myself. No. Sincere approval, that means I think testing all of my desires and actions, my activity in the faith through the Word of God. Is it excellent? Is my intention to do the will of our Lord, the will of the Father? Or do I have some other reason that is less than excellent? Is it Lord and me, or perhaps me alone? Am I available when the Lord wants me, even though His calling is through humility, rejection, opposition, tears and sighs, threats, burdens? So, if that be the case, if I find myself sincere still to call on the name of the Lord, that He would check that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. I can't recall exactly the place where we read. It was not that far ago. I'm not sure, so I won't guess. Somewhere in one of the epistles it says, "Blessed is he that condemneth not himself in the things that he approveth." Blessed is he that does not condemn himself in the things that he is confirming, approving, promoting. Now that, I think that can be done in two ways. Someone may be approving and promoting the things that he is not sure are right, and then in his heart he feels condemned. He is doing something wrong. Or someone can be strongly, firmly convinced that all that he is doing is right and correct, and yet the Lord knows it's wrong. But it was not my intention today to somehow get back into that epistle of Romans chapter 7 that ends with the words, "Oh wretched man that I am." But truly, human heart is so easily deceived. So we need that from the Lord, His excellent look into the depth of our heart. If I would want to use modern language, probably His X-ray, you know, His word just piercing through everything and bringing to my attention what is pleasing Him and where there is need for correction, improvement, edifying. Oh, that edifying is so good, especially when it comes through the heart of a loving brother or sister, and when we receive it we can receive it with joy, with gratitude. Even though it's a correction, it's still comfort and encouragement. Being filled, verse 11, with the fruits of righteousness, the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I'm afraid I'm falling behind. I don't know why, but it's so often the case when I try to share with you some of the verses that I'm either branching too much on the sides, and I don't advance fast enough, and I still feel that so much of that is not brought out. But I just have to leave it to the Lord, and the Lord will bring and reveal to every heart as much as each individual soul needs. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I remember two things about, that I relate to these verses. When I was quite young and still going through my battles and struggles of the first steps in the faith and toward the conversion, I sometimes listened to some of the believers preaching, and they would read on and on, 2, 3, 4, even 5 times the same 2, 3 verses. And I was thinking in my heart, that doesn't make sense to me. I can do that on my own. Why do they keep repeating? And now I'm inclined toward that, to read these couple verses a number of times, because it just necessary to understand, and I cannot sufficiently explain, not in a short time anyway, and probably even a longer time would not be sufficient to explain these verses or to bring everything to our attention. And so I'm somehow inclined to read them and try to change the accent, to put the accent on one word or another, and then try to read again and put the accent on the other words and see if somehow it comes clearer to us. We know the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of righteousness, peace, and joy, faithfulness, zeal for the Lord, and then modesty, meekness, humbleness of heart, loving kindness, patience, understanding of one another, understanding of the Word of God, sharing, forgiving. Confession is a fruit of the Spirit. There are so many. And now, having that, or forgive me, I'll read it again, but I will add one verse. Verse 10 and on. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Why is there the word but? The preceding verse is ending, the sentence is ending with the praise of God. And in our pilgrimage, it's not all the verbal praise of God. It's not singing songs only. It's not offering thanksgiving in our prayers. It's not all only sharing joyfully the goodness and mercy, but rather there is a lot of suffering. There are burdens to be borne, carried on. The things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ... Oh. It's not only sharing the gospel in peaceful times, even though that's very necessary. Very necessary. And I think we need much more of that. But it's also the bonds in Christ. And what happens when one is in bonds? He cannot walk freely wherever he would like to. He longed to sit, to be with the Philippians, but he is far away in Rome. And he is a prisoner. His ability to move around is very limited. And so he is writing. You see what? Oh, I love to see that. Whenever our enemy thinks that he has succeeded in limiting the gospel of Christ goes much further. Paul is limited from going to the Philippians, so he is writing an epistle, and that epistle is going to be read thousands of years. What Paul shared with the Philippians directly was on this earth perhaps as long as they lived. But then they were gone. And perhaps the next generation of the believers at Philippi or some other places, wherever they had connections, benefited from it through the Philippians, and so it goes on and on. But still, through this epistle, becoming the part of the Word of God, the message of the Lord went much further. And I would like to share this with you too, that when Stephen, one of the seven deacons in Jerusalem, was witnessing and proclaiming the gospel and doing miracles, it was such a power of the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ that the enemy just was restless. And not only restless, furious. Outraged. Invasion of God's grace against the kingdom of darkness. And so we see that Stephen is stoned. Heaven was open to him. He saw the glory of God, and he departed with only one concern, reflecting back to this earth. Lord, do not charge this sin to them. He desires what he was doing until that moment, he continued doing through the moment of dying, that more of his people be saved, delivered from darkness, and brought into the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what happened? Just short time after that, the flash of God's light fell on Saul of Tarsus. And one of the great soldiers of the enemy was snatched out of the power of darkness, and became a brother of Stephen, a fellow pilgrim, another voice for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Satan would like to have Stephen's voice silenced. No more of that. But then something even more and greater will echo through all that region and through many other countries. God is so wonderful and great to him. be honor and glory, and our obedience, our faithfulness, as long as we are here, and our worship and praise now and forever.